Be with each one of you this evening as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. I'd ask for you to open up your Bibles to the Old Testament this evening, to 2 Chronicles chapter 10. 2 Chronicles chapter 10. While you're turning to that section, let me just give you a brief background how this lesson came to being as I put it together. Happened a number of years ago when I was reading some material. I'm not sure who the material was by. But it was talking about people getting older. That's what we're doing, is getting older. And he emphasized the importance of finishing strong. Don't give up. Finish strong. Well, when I thought of that idea, my mind went back to the Old Testament. And for a short time this evening, we're going to talk in the Old Testament on the divided kingdom here on finishing strong. More specifically, we're going to look at King Asa. Now, before we talk about King Asa, let's just briefly reflect on the divided kingdom. You had Saul, David, and Solomon. That was the United Kingdom. And then after him, you had Solomon's son, Rehoboam, and of course, Jeroboam. And there's lessons galore in those three areas. Of course, Rehoboam was warned with his disposition on not to divide the kingdom, which he indeed did. Jeroboam was given the promise that if you stay faithful, God will be with you, which he didn't. There's a lesson right there, Rehoboam and Jeroboam. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, we have this about Rehoboam. Then the king answered and said to them roughly, King Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders. Goes on verse 14, and he said and spoke to them according to the advice of the young man, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges. So the king did not listen to the people, for the turn of events was from God, and the Lord might fulfill his word, which he had spoken by the hand of Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So here it is. Now if we go to a few more chapters, go down to chapter 12, again speaking of Rehoboam, it tells us there, and he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. So here we have the beginning of the divided kingdom. Rehoboam is over Judah. Jeroboam is over the Israel, the 10 tribes. But he did not, I want you to pay attention to this, it's very important. He did not seek with his heart the Lord. Now we go from King Rehoboam to his son, Abijah. Or if you go to 1 Kings, which we're in 1 Kings, it's Abijam. Same man, just pronounced just a little bit different in these two places. But let's go to 1 Kings chapter 15. In 1 Kings chapter 15, this is the second king, the one who took over after Rehoboam. And verse 1, it states, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam, or if you're in Chronicles, Abijah, became king over Judah. And he reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Micaiah, and his grandmother of Abishalom. And he walked in the sins of his father, which he had done before him. His heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Now, he was not his literal father, but going back to genealogy, going back to David's time. Now, here's what we have so far. We have Rehoboam, whose heart is not right with God. We got Abijah, or Abijam, however you want to say it, whose heart was not right with God. And then we're going to talk about the king that we're talking about tonight, and that is Asa. Now, to talk about Asa, we're going to spend the rest of the evening on that. That can be found in 1 Kings 15:9, and it ends at 15:24. That's King's account. But let's turn to Chronicles and 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Now, the thing about Asa, and I want to go back to 1 Kings 15. If you're still back there, go back to 1 Kings 15. Asa rose above his circumstances. Have you seen people who excuse themselves of their bad behavior because of their circumstances? that I wouldn't be like that if. Well, Asa didn't do that. I think you have to agree with me. We looked at the two previous, his grandfather and his father. What type of kings were they? They were bad kings. He grew up in the surroundings of bad kings. But he rose above that. How do I know that? Well, let's look at 1 Kings chapter 15 and verses 9 through 11. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa became king over Judah. And he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. And his grandmother's name was, and here we have these words again, it's not Mary or Sue or things that I can say, it's Maacah, it's just how it's said. I've been listening to this all afternoon. Maacah is what I've been told. Now here she's spoken of his grandmother. Later on it's going to be talking about his mother. It's really his grandmother. I'll give you some passages for that when we get there. But notice verse 11, 15:11. Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did his father. Who does he go back to? David. Was David a man after God's own heart? So here we have it. His grandfather, Rehoboam, his father, Abijah, did not do that which was right. But Asa, for the most part, now remember, he reigned for how many years? He reigned for 41 years. For the most part, he did that which was right. So you know what that tells me? You can rise above your circumstances. You don't have to use your circumstances as a crutch for not doing good. His dad didn't do good. But you know what? He didn't use that as a crutch. So let's talk about Asa for the few minutes we have together here this evening. Go with me, if you will, to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And let's look at some of the actions of Asa. In 2 Chronicles chapter 14, we look in verses 2 and 3. He removed the foreign gods. Verse 2. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high priest and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord their God. Do you see what happens? Because in verse 4, not only did he remove these things, commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandments. That was not done by his father. That was not done by his grandfather. But for him, that's exactly what he did, to seek the law and to do those things. As we continue on in verse 5, he also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. All those things they were doing to false gods, he got rid of. He's different than his father. He's different than his grandfather. All right, as we continue on, verse 7. Let's look at verse 7, same chapter. Therefore he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built, listen, they built and what? Prospered. They built and, but you know what's amazing about me, this man, as I look at Asa? Who does he give credit to? He gives credit to God, verse 7. What a man. You know, remember, he reigned how many years? 41 years. Let's continue and study more about him, because now he has a battle with the Ethiopians. And that battle is recorded for us in 2 Chronicles beginning in 14:8. In 14:8, it states there, and Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah who carried shields and spears, and from Benjamin he had 280,000 men who carried shields and drew bows. All of these were mighty men of war. So if you look on the chart, if I got my math right, which I think I do, we've got 580,000 to do battle. That sounds pretty much, doesn't it? However, if we go on to the next verse, we go on to the next verse, verse 9, it goes on to state this. Then Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men. So that's basically 2-1, but now they've even got a greater advantage. And 300 chariots. And he came, now see, so here it is, Here's Judah, 580,000. Here's the Ethiopians, 1 million plus 300 chariots, which would be a strategic advantage to those people. Now let's continue on. He goes on, and Asa cried out to the Lord. Look at verse 11. Verse 11. If you make highlights in your Bible, circle that if you make highlights. This is the key verse here. Verse 11. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you. And in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. There's a whole sermon right there. His total dependence on God and his confidence in God. But he's not telling God what to do. We need your help, and by you we will win. What an attitude he has. Now remember, he had 580,000 men of war. But he recognized his need for whom? He recognized his need for the help of God. And of course, we see in verse 12, as we stand this chapter, it said, so the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gar. So the Ethiopians went and overthrew them that they could not recover, and they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. Then they defeated all the cities of Gerar, and fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil with them. And that means all the stuff that was there now became theirs because they beat them in battle. Goes on to state, they also attacked the livestock, the enclosures, carried off the sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. Remember, his dad was what? Evil. His grandfather was what? Evil. He was righteous. He depended upon God. And you can see how the nation had prospered under Asa. I want to stop here, throw out a sidelight for you. Would you agree with me? The church goes the way of the leadership. The church goes the way of the leadership. Thank goodness we have godly elders. Thank goodness we have elders who understand it's not just a title, but it's a work to be done. You've seen congregations, or I've seen congregations who have had bad leadership, who is not watching the flock like they should have, and we know what happens there. We see congregations of the Lord's people who don't want any leadership. They're satisfied with the men's business meeting. They don't want, even if they had men who were leaders, they didn't want them to be leaders. And we see what happens in that situation. Thank God we have good leaders, and we need to be praying for them, as Daryl did in the prayer this evening, and as we need to do in our private prayers, because they have an overwhelming task of watching over our souls. Now, I said that to say this. Now I'm not saying Asa was an elder, but he's a leader, is he not? And we can see what happened with good leadership. Another thing, that doesn't excuse us if there's bad leadership. You've got to make changes if that's the case. But the point is this. Everything is going well at this time. Now, remember what I said, started out this lesson, finish strong. You're going to see how I tie that into this lesson as we get there. As we come to chapter 15, in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, we have a prophet of God, a man of God, Azariah, coming to Asa. And in 2 Chronicles 15:2, as Azariah comes to Asa, he states, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa and Judah and Benjamin. Here's another point. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. That's pretty simple, is it not? You serve God, God's with you. You don't serve God, God's not with you. If God's not with you, what's the outcome? Devastation. All right, so, but that's not all. As we go on, and 15 and verse 7. Chapter 15 and verse 7. Again, the prophet says, "But you be strong and do not let your hand be weak, for your work shall be," what? "Rewarded." But that's not all. He goes on to state this in 15:8. "And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah, Benjamin, and from the cities, which he had taken the mountains of Ephraim, and he restored the altar of the Lord and was before the vestibule of the Lord." Look at the beginning of verse 8. "And when Asa heard these words." Our words mean a lot. Now, we're not inspired of God, but words can motivate people to do that which is right. The words of this prophet motivated Asa, did it not, to do that which is right. Pay attention to our words. There's times we have to correct, but there's times we should be building one another up. Stay strong, stay focused, move forward. That's exactly what he was told. And what happened when he was told that? Well, let's go on. In 15, 10 through 15, we find recorded for us here, in 15, 12, 13, it goes on, we can't read the whole chapter, verses 12 and 13, "After this was said to them, then they entered a covenant to seek the Lord God their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whoever would not..." Now, here's a key thing. I like 13. "And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman." Now, we don't have any record of that, but that's pretty serious, is it not? You seek the Lord with all your heart, or here's the outcome. He goes on as we continue on in 15:15. In 15 and verse 15, it goes on to state this. "And Judah rejoiced at the oath." The oath of what? "Of serving God with all your heart and all your soul." That goes back a few verses. "And Judah rejoiced at the oath that they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul. And he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around." Wow. How different is the time period as Asa is the king of Judah in comparison to Rehoboam as the king of Judah, or Ahijah as the king of Judah. Again, because Asa realized his dependence upon the Lord. And then we come to another one, and that was the removal of his, there it says mother, but actually it's his grandmother, and that is Maacah. He removes her. Let's go to 15:16. And you also have it in Kings. In 15:16. "And he removed Maacah, his mother," it says here. If you have a side or center reference there, it probably has a little number one by it. And if you looked at the little number one by it, it would talk about that being his grandmother if you went to Kings' account. So again, we're not going to go into detail on that. But anyhow, let me tell you this. I'm not going to quibble with you as to whether you want to take it as his literal mother or his grandmother. You got a discrepancy between Kings and Chronicles. I believe it's talking about his grandmother. Just like it's talking about David being his father, but he was not his father. It was generations before. Here's what we don't want to forget. Whether you take mother, and I believe it's the grandmother, it's flesh and blood. He's standing against his own flesh and blood. There's a sermon right there, isn't it? She's evil. She's an evil person. What does he do? He removed her from being queen mother. She had a position of authority. What did he do? He removed her. If you went to King's account, he tore down her statue to this false deity. And we could spend time with that. I'm impressed. Because if at any time it shows your love for God is when you have to make a decision of your closest of loved ones. And he made the decision to follow God. Many years ago when I worked with Spring Warrior, a wonderful congregation outside of Perry, Florida, great group of people, One of the things that scared me when I first moved there, it was a fairly large congregation of about 140 people, but it consisted, not totally, but the bulk of it, of three major families. That the congregation had three, of the 140, out of those three families, you had over 75 people. That's a lot of people. So I'm wondering, okay, when a problem comes up where you stand for the truth and it's going to hit one of those families right between the eyes, what is going to happen? And it wasn't too many months, something like that came up. We had to discipline somebody, correctively discipline. We had to mention their name publicly because they just refused to change. There's more details to it, but it's not necessary here. And that person that had to be disciplined happened to be a pretty well-known person in one of the families, which one of them was an elder. Okay, now the pudding's coming to roost now. Well, what's going to happen here? I was so impressed with that elder. I really was. He was devastated by his loved one who had gone astray. But he did not waver for a moment as to what had to be done under that circumstance. Praise God for people like that. It's easy for me to talk about that. I wasn't in that case. But he was. Now, I said that to look at Asa. He's taking his closest of family ties, the queen mother, and takes her out of her position and humiliates her, and rightfully so, because she had a statue of a false deity. You see how you've got to be impressed with Asa and what he did. But now let's talk a little bit about the rest of the story. Remember I said what we need to do is finish strong? Asa started hobbling at the end. He's going gung-ho up to this point. But then that takes us to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And what we find in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, 1 through 6, it states, in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha king of Israel came up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might not none go in or come out to Asa king of Judah. Verse 2. Then Asa brought silver and gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and sent it to Ben-Hadad king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, let us therefore be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you silver and gold. Come, but break your treaty with Baasha, the king of Israel, that he will go and withdraw from me. So Ben-Hadad heeded the king Asa and sent captains of his armies and against the cities of Israel. And they attacked Ijon, Dan, Abel, Maim, and all the strong cities in Naphtali. Now it happened when Baasha had heard this, he stopped building Ramah and ceased his work. And King Asa took all Judah and carried away the stones and timbers of Ramah, which Baasha had used for the building, and he built Geba and Mizpah. Now, if we would stop there, we'd say, well, everything was great. Oh, but it wasn't. It wasn't great. Because now, if we go on and read, we find in 7 through 10, we have at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Remember, the Syrians were not allies, they're enemies. He goes on, but we as Americans should learn that, but we'll not get into that story. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them in your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. Whoa! Remember, he's had peace all the way up to this time. You didn't rely on God. Now, why didn't he rely on God? Was he not there when they beat the million army man of the Ethiopians? Was he not there? I believe he was he not? Did he see God giving them victory at that time? I believe he saw that, did he not? Has God given them peace throughout all these years? I believe that's the case. But as he became older, perhaps he became a little softer. Perhaps he took matters in his own hands. So sad to have that here. But it didn't stop with that. Because as we go to verse 10, then Asa was angry with the seer. Now, why is he angry with the seer? The seer didn't go make a deal with Syria. Asa did. He's angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this, and Asa oppressed some of the people at this time. Asa, what's happening to you? All those years you've done that which is right. You're coming to the twilight of your life and you're going the wrong direction. Do you know of anybody in the Lord's church that has gone in the wrong direction after years and years of faithful service to Christ? How sad that is. But let's go to another case. And 2 Chronicles 16:12. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and that was severe. And yet his disease he did not seek who? The Lord, but physicians. Now there's no doubt, it's recorded, Asa's a good king. He was a good king for all those years. But as I look back at his life, I have to ask the question to myself, did he finish strong? Did he finish strong? If you're older in years, if you've been in Christ a long time, don't slow down. Finish strong. I don't have the answer to Asa, so I'm going to steal a little comment by Bob and Sandra Waldron and their book, Till There Was No Remedy. Because Asa really perplexes me at this time. But I know as we get older, our brain sometimes goes in the wrong direction, and we have to get put back on the right direction. But here's what he said. And again, this is not the gospel truth. This is his conclusion. But I thought it would be good and worthy sharing this with you. In his book on page 20, concerning Asa, he states this. Asa is described as a righteous king, and God blessed Judah in his day. Yet he was rebuked on occasion for not relying on God as he should have. For example, in his conflict with Baasha over the city of Ramah, and now in his last sickness. Asa did not turn away, and here's, I think, maybe this is the point that's helped me. Asa did not turn away from God to serve idols. He didn't do that. Remember, the others had served idols. He didn't turn away to serve idols. But he did not rely upon him in all circumstances as he should have. I like that. Rely on God in all circumstances. It's very easy for us to become overwhelmed and discouraged. And sad but true, forget the God whom we serve. So that's why when I think of finish strong, I think of Asa. Because he did many fine things. But he got a little mixed up at the end. And the last thing I want to do is get a little mixed up at the end. And from those of you who are younger, say, well, that's for the old people. Well, if you live, you're going to become an older person someday. Don't get mixed up at the end. So I close with this passage. It's from 2 Chronicles 15:2. The prophet said, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." The last thing I want to happen to me as I come further along towards the twilight years is to turn away from God, because I don't want him to forsake me. As long as I seek him, he's what? He's with me. Doesn't tell me he's going to give me all the answers. Doesn't tell me that he's going to give me a smooth life. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But I need to keep on seeking him, and he'll always be with me. God will never turn away from me. I got to be careful I don't turn away from God. I got to be careful that I don't become so wise in my own opinion that I can handle it without God. Because let me tell you something. You try to handle it without God, eventually you will lose. You will lose. You handle it with God, you will have eternal life in heaven. I'm grateful for King Asa. He did a lot of wonderful things in those years. We need to remember the positive about him too. Let's not get caught up in thinking he was not a bad king. He's designed as a good king. But even good kings did some things they shouldn't have done. It's like Albert Wanis when I studied with him. He said, "Now I'm teaching you. You're working with me." This is when I first started preaching. He said, "But remember, all men have clay feet. All men have clay feet." And what he was saying, you're going to see the good in me. You're going to see the not so good in me. Imitate the good. Don't follow the bad. When we look at Asa, there's a lot of good to imitate. But don't follow the bad. If you're here this evening and not a child of God, imitate the Christians of the first century. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. Repent of your sins. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then to the best of your ability, you're not competing against anybody, to the best of your ability, serve him. And when you fall, you're only a loser if you stay down. If you fall, get back up. And you fall again, get back up. And get back up. And get back up. Because I want to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." That can be so in your life. That can be so in my life. But we have to live today and do what's right today. Because that's all we have. As we stand and as we sing.